Chapter 4. Writing loops in Python. The next thing we will need to take a look at when it is time to write some of your own codes in Python will be looped. Creating loops can help you to make a code that is more efficient and will ensure that you are able to get codes written quickly and without a ton of work in the process. These loops work well with some of the conditional statements that we are going to talk about later on, helping you to clear up your code while getting a lot done in a short amount of time. Loops are helpful because they are going to speed up how long it is going to take you to write out some codes, can help to clean it all up, and can take hundreds of lines of codes, potentially, and put it in just a few lines if needed. Think about how much time that is going to save when you can get all of that code into a few lines with the help of the loops. If you are working on your code and you find that there are parts of the program that can repeat them over and over again, at least a few times, then the loops are going to help make this happen. You'll be able to get the code to repeat as many times as you would like, without having to rewrite the same codes over and over again. Let's say that you would like to work on some kind of program that has a multiplication table that is going to go from 1 to 10 and all of the answers that are needed for it. Maybe you would choose to do some of the beginner codes and write it all line by line while wasting a ton of time and making it so that the code looks kind of messy in the process. But you are able to use the idea of a loop and write it out with the help of a few lines. We will explore some of the different options that are available for the loops and using them while also seeing how you would be able to do the example above in just a few lines. While this may seem like a complex thing to work within the coding, it is actually pretty easy to work with, and even a beginner is going to be able to write out some of these codes. The way that these codes will work is that it tells the compiler to keep reading the same part of the code until there is some condition that is met. Once that condition is met, the compiler will go out of the loop and start working on the next part of the code. So, let's say that you are working on a program, and a part of it needs to be able to count from 1 to 10. You will be able to use the idea of the loop in order to tell the compiler to keep going through the code until it reaches higher than 10. We can take a look at a few of the different examples that you are able to do with the ideas of the loop. One thing to remember here is that when you write out some of these loops, it is important to set up the conditions in the right manner. It is easy to forget to set up these conditions when you first get started, but if you forget them right from the beginning of the code, then you will end up in a loop that is not going to stop. You will get stuck in a continuous loop because the code doesn't know when it needs to stop going through the loop. When you decide to work with some of the methods that are considered more traditional with coding, or using some of the other methods that are found throughout this guidebook, your whole goal here will be to write out all of the lines of code to get things done. Even if you see some parts of the code repeating, then you would still need to rewrite it out. This could take a long time and may not be as easy to work with as well. But when you work with loops, this is not going to be something that is going to be that big of a deal. When working with these loops, you are able to get rid of some of the traditional ways of coding and change it up and make things easier. You will be able to combine together a ton of lines of code, or as many as you would need in order to get things done. The compiler will still be able to read through it when the loop is done in the proper way, just as long as you make sure that all of your conditions are put in place. Now that we have spent some time looking at what the loops mean and why they are going to be so important to your code writing, it is time to divide up some of the different types of loops that are available to help you get this done inside the codes you write. The first loop, the while loop. So, the first type of loop that we are going to explore is the idea of the while loop in Python. This loop is a good one to bring out and use when you want to make sure that your code is able to go through the loop or the cycle for a predetermined number of times. You can pick out how many times you would like the code to go through this kind of loop to get the best results out of it. This makes it easy to get the number of times you would like the loop to go through. When you work with the while loop, the goal is not to make the code that you write go through the cycle an indefinite amount of times, but you do have in mind a number of times that you would like the code to do its work. So, if you want to count from 1 to 10 in the code, your goal is to use the while loop in order to go through the loop that many times. With the while loop, you will see that the code is going to go through the loop, and then it will double check to see if the conditions are met or not. Then, if the conditions are not met, they will go through the loop again, and then check again. It will continue doing this over and over until it has met the conditions, and then it will go on to the other part of the code when the loop is all gone. To see how the while loop is going to work, and to gain a better understanding of the loop works in general, let's look at some examples of a code that has a while loop inside of it. Counter equals 1. While, open parentheses, counter, less than equals 3, close parentheses, colon. Principal equals int, open parentheses, input, open parentheses, speech marks, enter the principal amount, colon, close speech marks, close parentheses, number of years equals int, open parentheses, input, open parentheses, speech marks, enter the amount of years, colon, close speech marks, close parentheses, rate of interest equals float, open parentheses, input, open parentheses, speech marks, enter the rate of interest, close speech marks, close parentheses, simple interest equals principal, star, number of years, star, rate of interest, /100. Print, open parentheses, speech marks, simple interest equals percentage .2f, close speech marks, percentage simple interest, close parentheses. Hash, increase the counter by 1. Counter equals counter plus 1. Print, open parentheses, you have calculated simple interest for 3 times, exclamation mark, close speech marks, close parentheses. Before we take a look at some of the other types of loops that we are able to work with, let's open up the compiler on Python and type in the code to see what is going to happen when we execute it. You will then be able to see how the while loop is able to work. The program is able to go through and figure out the interest rates, along with the final amounts that are associated with it, based on the numbers that the user, or you, will put into the system. With the example from the code that was above, we have the loop set up so that it is going to go through 3 times. This means that the user gets a chance to put in different numbers and see the results 3 times, and then the system will be able to move on. You do get the chance to add in more or take out some loops based on what is best for your needs. The second loop, the for loop. At this point, we have been able to take a look at the while loop and what it is all going to entail. It is time to take a look at the for loop, so that we are able to see how this, in order to do more with loops, and how this is going to be different than the while loop overall. When you work with the while loops, you will notice that the code is going to go through a loop a certain number of times. But it is not always going to work for all the situations where you want to bring in a loop. And the for loop is going to help us fill in the blanks that the while loop is not able to do. When you are ready to work with the for loop, you will be able to set up the code in a manner that the user isn't going to be the one who will go into the code and provide the program with the information that it needs. They do not have the control that is needed to stop the loop from running. Instead of the user being able to hold the control, the for loop is going to be set up so that it will go over the iteration of your choice in the order that you place the items into your code. This information, when the for loop is going to list them out in the exact way that they are listed in the code. The user will not need to input anything for the for loop to work. A good example of how this is going to work inside your code so that you are able to make it work for your needs will include the following syntax. Hash, measure some strings. Words equals square brackets, quote, apple, comma, quote, mango, comma, quote, orange, quote, close square brackets. For W in words, comma, print, open parentheses, W, comma, len, open parentheses, W, close parentheses. When you work with the for loop example that is above, you are able to add it to your compiler and see what happens when it gets executed. When you do this, the four fruits that come out on your screen will show up in the exact order that you have written them out. If you would like to have them show up in a different order, you can do that, but then you need to go back to your code and rewrite them in the right order, or your chosen order. Once you have then written out in the syntax, and they are ready to be executed in the code, you can't make any changes to them. The third loop, the nested loop. The third and final loop that we are going to work with in Python is going to be known as the nested loop. You will find that when we look at the nested loop, there are going to be some parts that are similar to what we looked at with the while loop and with the for loop, but it is going to use these topics in a different way. When you decide to work with a nested loop, you will just take one loop and then make sure that it is placed inside of another loop. Then, both of these loops will work together and continue on with their work until both have had a chance to finish. This may seem really hard to work with when it comes to the loops, and you may wonder if there is actually any time that you, as a beginner, would need to work with this loop. But there are often a lot more chances to work with the nested loop than you may think in the beginning. For example, if you are working with some kind of code that needs to have a multiplication table inside of it, and you want the answers listed all the way up, then you are going to work with the nested loop. Imagine how long this kind of process is going to take if you have to go out and list each and every part of the code without using a loop to make it happen. You would have to write out the lines of code to do 1 times 1, 1 times 2, and so on until you reach the point where you are at 10 times 10. This could end up being a ton of lines of code just to make this kind of table work in your code. But you are able to work with the idea of the nested loop in order to see the results that you want. A good example that you will be able to work with to show how a nested loop works and to make sure that you are able to make a full multiplication table of your own includes the following. Hash, write a multiplication form 1 to 10. For x in x range, open parentheses, 1, 11, close parentheses, colon. For y in x range, open parentheses, 1, 11, close parentheses, colon, print, quote, percentage d equals percentage d, quote, percentage, open parentheses, x, y, x star x, close parentheses. When you got to the output of this program, it is going to look similar to this. 1 star 1 equals 1, 1 star 2 equals 2, 1 star 3 equals 3, 1 star 4 equals 4, all the way up to 1 star 10 equals 2. Then it would move on to do the table by twos, such as this. 2 star 1 equals 2, 2 star 2 equals 4, and so on until you end up with 10 star 10 equals 100 as your final spot in the sequence. Go ahead and put this into a compiler and see what happens. You will simply have four lines of code and end up with a whole multiplication table that shows up on your program. Think of how many lines of code you would have to write out to get this table the traditional way that you did before. This table only took a few lines to accomplish, which shows how powerful and great the nested loop can be. As you can see, there are a lot of different things that you are able to do when you start to implement some loops into the codes that you are writing. There are a ton of reasons why you should add a loop into the code you are writing. You will be able to use it in most cases to take a large amount of code and write it in just a few lines instead. This saves you time, cleans up the code that you are trying to write, and the compiler is going to be able to still help you do some things that are super powerful.